Okay, turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13. Remember to pray for the services on the Lord's Day, that the Lord will bring visitors, that we will see the Lord working. Pray for wisdom as we seek to develop our men's ministry and rebuild that part of our church. And pray especially for new registration for the daycare and for these children and their families to be reached with the gospel. Okay, Hebrews chapter 13. Obviously, the conclusion of the book, Hebrews chapter 13. At verse 10, we're looking at tonight, we have an altar whereof they, that is the Jews, those in the Old Testament, living under the Old Testament, where they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts, whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifices, the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Of course, the setting here is the contrast between the heavenly altar and the earthly altar. And we have this great privilege as Christians to have a heavenly altar that is exclusive. It's only for those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ. And in contrast to the Jews, who have an earthly altar and who really have no part in that heavenly altar. And as he speaks about that altar, he, of course, now speaks of the earthly altar and the sacrifices that are brought to that earthly altar. And, of course, one of those sacrifices is... it was the sin offering. And the sin offering was for the sin of the people. It was an offering because of the fact that as sinners, they sinned. Whether they knew that they were sinning or not, they sinned. And because those who sinned in ignorance, when they sinned, when they found out they had sinned, they had to bring a sin offering. The sin offering emphasizes, if you take the book of Leviticus on Monday nights, it emphasizes the sin nature. We sin because we're sinners. And you know, people... in order for people to truly understand salvation, they need to understand that they are a sinner. And the sins in our lives are a result of our sin nature. And, of course, that's pictured in the sin offering. And when we get when we come to Christ, we're not merely asking him to... save us from hell. We're coming to him because we're a sinner and we need to be saved from our sin. And the sin offering represents this. And in the sin offering, certain parts of that animal were burnt on the altar, but the rest of the animal was taken outside of the camp. And that animal had to be taken outside of the camp because that animal bore the sins of the people. And so, of course, it was picturing the Lord Jesus, who was to be crucified outside the city. He was taken outside of the city, and there he was crucified for our sins. And the picture was of Christ, and also the picture is that outside of the camp, who went outside the camp? Well, the lepers had to go outside the camp. Those who had a communicable disease, they had to go outside the camp. They couldn't stay inside the camp. And it's certainly a picture of the reproach that was centered around the Lord Jesus Christ. But he had to bear that reproach in order to die for our sins. Now, of course, the picture is, thank the Lord, he died for our sin. But in dying for our sin, he was taken to a place of reproach. He was taken outside of the city. Now, we kind of have a twofold thing here. The great privilege that we have to have this altar in heaven, the blood of Christ, who was presented to the Father for the payment of our sin. But with it also comes the reproach of the sin offering. And the Christian Jews here were bearing that reproach. And so he encourages them, verse 13, let us go forth therefore unto him without or outside the camp, bearing his reproach. And of course today, you know, one of the major issues of life in this world is the pride of life, isn't it? The Bible says all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the reproach of Christ really is in stark contrast to that. Now, you have the pride of life, and that is closely associated with the pride of religion. Oh, wow. You know? I remember when we came to Maquonago, no Baptist church here, hadn't been a Baptist church here in this town for almost 60 years. And they never even knew there was one in this town. And, of course, a town full of Germans and Catholics and Lutherans. And, of course, Baptist church is a cult. And the reproach of Christ and the religious reproach. Now, you have the world's reproach. Because you're going to live godly, you're going to face the reproach of the world. But if you're going to identify with Christ, you're also going to take on the reproach, the scoffing of the religious world. Huh. Wow. I think it's easier to take the reproach of the world than the religious world. And, you know, I remember many times someone has professed to be resaved, and immediately someone in their family comes to them and said, you go to Baptist church? No way. And that was the end of it. Now, obviously, I don't think they were saved, but the water was tested, and they couldn't bear the reproach of Christ. And so now he is reminding them of the contrast. Verse 14, for here we have no continuing city. Why should you be willing to live up to the scorn and the scoffing of the religious crowd? Why should you put up with the rejection of this world? Why? Because we have a city in heaven. And there, of course, you think of Jerusalem and the Jews, temporary, earthly city versus a heavenly city. And so we have a conclusion here, verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Now, he's kind of playing on different issues here. Number one, we have an altar in heaven. We have a home in heaven. Our earth, this earth is not our home. We have an altar in heaven. We are priests of God. Now, in the Old Testament, the priests offered the sacrifices. They sprinkled the blood. But we're priests. Now, the New Testament is talking about some sacrifices that you and I should be bringing. And of course, Leviticus really is talking about these. But the New Testament, we have a different perspective. And in verse number 15, it says, By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. All right? So, there's something that we should purposely, willfully, knowingly, deliberately be doing. We ought to be knowingly, willingly, purposely bringing to God that sacrifice of praise. Now you think about it. You know what? What are we going to be doing in heaven? Boy, you know what? I hope it isn't going to be a big shock. I hope it isn't going to be a big shock. I was just thinking of a couple places in the Bible. Revelation 4, 10 and 11. The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on his throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne. And what do they say? Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Chapter 5, verse 11, I beheld in the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven, on the earth, and under the earth, and such as in the sea, and all that in them, heard I saying. Now notice, every creature, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Let's park there for a minute. How much time are we spending giving praise to God? How much time do we spend giving praise to God? I mean, a few million years, that's what we're going to be doing in heaven. talked to one of the teachers this week of the academy. And, they said, it's really disappointing, the conversation at the table at the lunch hour. All the foolishness that the young people are talking about. All sorts of foolishness. Nothing about God, nothing about the Bible. And he began to think, one of the teachers said something to him, well, why are you talking like this? And they said, well, we always talk like this. And I start thinking, I wonder, do they ever talk about God at home? They ever talk about the Bible at home? You know, when you get home from church on Sunday, do you talk about the message? Or you talk about the Packers? You know, the Bible is telling us something really specific here. Is that the worship of the believer, the believer's worship of God, involves a specific act. A specific act of praise to God. And this is something that we should deliberately be doing. Now you think about that. What's the opposite of that? Complaining. Murmuring. We go on a whole other big list. But let's just take a moment and think about the sacrifices. Now, in the Old Testament, they had prescribed sacrifices in which they were to, which were the prescribed ways in which they worship God. And that's how you did worship God. Now, we have some prescribed ways in the New Testament to worship God. Let's turn to Romans chapter 12, and we'll look there. We touched on this Sunday a little bit. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that she may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, I mean, if you put it at plain common sense, what is it saying? It's saying this. Well, you know, a person that gets saved, the normal thing would be for them to say, I want to serve God with my life. Right? That's the normal response to being saved. I want to serve God with my life. That's the purpose of life. He saved me. Now, I want to serve him. You know, we live in a day in which the normal is so unnormal, it's abnormal. The normal is so unnormal, it's abnormal. You know, we should be saying to God, Lord, and of course, this is really the first thing. You know, any sacrifice given to God is easy once a person has made this sacrifice, once a person presents their life to serve the Lord. Now, this is far different than the Baptist giving your life to the Lord. You know what I'm saying? You know, everybody gives their life to the Lord. And you know, I like the terminology, but I don't like the Baptist ritual. You know why? Because for most young people, they say, well, I gave my life to the Lord, and they really didn't, but they went through the motion so they can go on their own way and live their own life. Because they said some magic words, so to say, and they really didn't mean it. They didn't really give their life to the Lord, but they said they did, and so now they don't have to worry about it. You know what I mean? Oh, I gave my life to the Lord. But that's not giving your life to the Lord. You know, I picture it like this. You take your life and you put it on the altar and you leave it there. Complete your complete life. Your whole life. Because we have an altar in heaven. We have an eternal, heavenly altar. Now, the Old Testament people, they had to go to an earthly altar. We have a heavenly altar. How do we approach it? Well, we approach it, first of all, with the sacrifice of our lives. Secondly, we have that sacrifice of praise, don't we? We have the sacrifice of praise. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Here we have the sacrifice of our purse. Second Corinthians 8, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. They were poor, but they were very liberal. And for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying with us with much entreaty that we receive the gift, and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but they first gave their own selves to the Lord, and unto us by the will of God. Here was a sacrifice that they gave to the Lord. And, you know, again, it's pretty simple. If you give your life to the Lord, you know, the purse, that just fits in it, you know. And I think that, you know, sometimes it'd be interesting. You probably wouldn't know this, but probably some of the biggest givers in our church aren't what you would be, some of the people who have the least amount to give. And you know why? Because they've given their life to God. And their purse is just a part of their life. It's not anything special. And it's the norm. And there's a lot of people here who worship God with their purse. And it is a part of our sacrifices to God. And notice in Hebrews, the last part of this chapter, and of course that is contained in both of them, verse 16, but to do good and to communicate. Now the word communicate is the word that refers to monetary gifts, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. And here we have the last sacrifice, and that's the sacrifice of performance. That's the sacrifice of doing good. Doing those good things that we can do. Now, you know, somebody was up here, and I won't say who it was, some of you know. But, you know, somebody was up here fixing Victoria's car. And I thought, you know, that really is sweet. That's really sweet. Someone thinking of this young lady and doesn't have a relative taking care of her car. And so here's somebody taking care of this car. What a blessing. But you notice what it says here? For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Now think of the sacrifices in Leviticus. There's three of them that the Bible says they were a sweet smelling savor unto God. And that's the terminology he's using here. He's saying with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. You know, when we give our life to the Lord, and we really give our life to the Lord, when we really want to praise God, and we do willfully praise Him, when we open up our wallets for God and give because we want to, and we give as much as we can, when we do good because we want to do it for God and we want to be a blessing. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that these are a sweet aroma that come up before the Lord. Worshiping God with our lips and with our life. And it's because we know the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, He breaks the back of that sin nature. And that sin nature is all about self, isn't it? The sin nature is all about me. And when we come to know Christ, the back of that sin nature is broken. And now Christ has made the difference in our life. And now we are seeking to be like Christ. And of course, all of these sacrifices are appropriate worship to Him, the one who's given His all for us, and who, though He was rich, yet for our sakes became poor. Now, as we think about this night, now, first of all, young person, when's the last time you just praised God? You went into the corner of your room or in your house. Are you looking at me, young people? When's the last time you just got on your knees and you praised God? That's a sacrifice that's well-pleasing to God. That's normal Christianity. That's normal worship. You know, wouldn't it be great if in the lunch hour at school, someone said, you know, this is really exciting. God really blessed me today, and I'm just so thankful to the Lord. I want everybody to know about it. I read this in my Bible today, and this is so exciting to walk with the Lord. I'm so glad to be saved. Boy, I'm just praising the Lord. Well, you know what? That's sweet. That's not only sweet around us, but it's sweet to the Lord, isn't it? You know, it's sweet to the Lord to say, God, I want to serve you. I want to serve you. I want to do everything I can to serve you. Boy, that's a far cry from, what would we say? Tugging and pulling and pushing and prodding. When people just say, you know what, that's what I want to do. I want to serve God. I want to live for God. I want to do His will. You know, that heart cry and that reality, that's what's pleasing to God. That's what real Christianity is all about. I want to do this for God. I want to serve Him with my life. Because we have a heavenly altar. It's the real thing. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would remind us tonight what it means to worship the God in heaven. Lord, the heathen worship false gods. And Lord, we even see the false devotion of the Muslims to their false god. Oh God, our devotion to Thee ought to be far more than that. And Lord, I pray that our Christianity would be challenged tonight. It would be far more than what God can do for me. But it would be one, Lord, in which we are so thankful for what He has done that we want to give sacrifices to You. And Lord, help us to be the people who know that a sacrifice isn't much unless it costs us something. And Lord, may we be desirous to bring sacrifices to You that are worthy of Your sacrifice. And so, Lord, use Your word in our lives. And I pray that we would be challenged tonight to respond as we ought to You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.